Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 120. Embrace the pain. If you spend any amount of time online, which I'm sure you have, and your algorithms are similar to mine, where it knows that you're a guy probably in his late 20s, early 30s, and you're interested in things like quote-unquote self-improvement, or weight training, or entrepreneurship, or any of these various activities that the algorithm clumps together, there is no chance that you haven't come across some of Andrew Huberman's content. Now, full disclaimer, I don't listen to his podcast or watch his stuff very much, like I don't seek it out very actively, but basically, every single thing I've ever come across that he's done has been very informative, very interesting, and if I've tried it out, if I cared enough to try it out, it's been very useful to me, right? One of the things I learned from him was the superset methodology that I'm now introducing into the Warrior King Training Protocol, which update coming out very soon on that, where if you, for example, push and pull, you know, use an agonist-antagonist muscle pair, it basically allows you to get more reps in for any given exercise than you if you've done them separately, right? Three sets of push, then three sets of pull. You'll do more reps if you do push and then immediately follow it with pull and then rest. And it saves you time. So a lot of his stuff is really good. Now, one of the things that I've seen from him recently in a short clip somewhere was this area of the brain called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And I hope I'm saying that right. I actually have it pulled up here so I can double check. Yes, anterior mid-cingulate cortex, which the way he explains it and the way I understand it, of course, disclaimer, I'm not a professional in neuroscience or biology or anything, but as far as I understand it, this is the part of the brain that deals with tenacity, right? Stick-to-itness. If you remember from a story I told in one field log, I don't even remember which one, a while ago, is the single best predictor of success at West Point. Compared to this other questionnaire, right? They had this questionnaire where they would ask incoming potential students, or I suppose they call them cadets probably, this long 72-question questionnaire to see if they were a good fit, right? They had the makings of a West Point man, right? That was the idea. Well, they found out that if they tested their ability to stick through things, that was a better predictor of success at West Point than the whole questionnaire they'd been using up to that point. So tenacity is this hugely, hugely, hugely important quality. And the mid-cingulate cortex is the part of the brain responsible for that, as far as I understand it. Now, the interesting thing that I learned from the clip, and I'll probably try to pull up the clip and put it in the show notes for you guys. So let me make a note of that real quick. But the thing about the anterior mid-cingulate cortex is that every single time you do something you don't have a desire to do, right? Let's say you need to, I don't know, vacuum the floor and you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. This part of the brain, it grows. It gets better. It gets stronger. It gets bigger. But every single time you do something that you do want to do, or I would imagine don't do something you don't want to do, it gets smaller. The way he explained it was that it's pretty reactive. It grows and shrinks very quickly. And then he followed that up with another piece of information I found really interesting, which is that even if you do something you used to not like, but it's grown on you, let's say the cold shower, if you're still enjoying the cold shower, or you're still doing the cold shower, and you're now enjoying it, it doesn't lead to anterior mid-cingulate cortex growth. And that's really interesting. Right? Now, as far as field logs go, Embrace the Pain has to be the most field log title we've ever had, if that makes sense. All right, this is so cliche that I'm you know, internally laughing at myself. But it's true, right? This is the lesson here, I think, if we think about this for a second, that we do actually, I feel kind of vindicated, have to seek out activities that are uncomfortable, that are painful, that we don't want to do, for the tenacity part of the brain to grow, the willpower part of the brain to grow. And I think he said it's even related to the will to live, right? So we have to seek out activities that we don't want to do. Now, what are we talking about here, right? We have episodes on so many of these, right? going keto is not fun. It's not hard, which eventually you start to enjoy it and you don't miss the carbs so much, but it's difficult, especially during the transitions. Weight training. How many times have we talked about weight training? It sucks. I still don't like to do it. It's been more than a decade. I don't like to do it. Cold showers, day one. Who remembers that episode? Who's been here since day one? Take cold showers. This morning, the temperature where I live was 19 degrees Fahrenheit. And the water in the pipes was so cold that it burned on my skin. And as I turned the water on, I'm getting in my head, I really, really don't want to do it. I really don't want to get in that cold shower. And then I remembered this fact. And I remember that I'd be recording this episode today. And all of a sudden, I felt fired up to do the thing I didn't want to do because I knew I could basically guarantee that this would lead to more tenacity. And at that point, sign me up. A lot of times in this life, as warrior kings, as men living this ethos, we do things and we don't know if they're going to have a positive effect. So whenever you do get something where you know for a fact it will, I mean, that's got to light a fire under you, right? So I got in that cold shower. What else have we talked about? Sleeping on the floor. I used to do that twice a week. And as I used to on purpose, I've fallen out of the habit. That's something I need to bring back. Because I don't want to do it, right? My bed is so comfortable. I got the lots of space in the bed. And, you know, moving the pillow and the blanket and everything down to the floor. It's annoying. I don't think about it. I forget it. I'm like, I'll do it next week. I need to bring that back. We need to seek out at all times pain. And of course, we've talked about this many, many times before. I'm not saying the kind of pain where it's harmful to you, but rather the good kind of pain. And if you've done weight training for a while, you'll know the difference, at least in that arena, you'll know the difference between good pain and bad pain. But that's what we're talking about, good pain. So if you think about this for a second, you'll pretty quickly get to the point where you start to almost catalog, at least that's what happened to me, and maybe you're the same, you start to catalog the various habits that you have, which of course is hard to do just off the top of my head, but if you think about it for a second, like what's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning? Well, this morning, the first thing I did was, after I remembered this fact again, is I jumped out of bed because I realized I didn't want to jump out of bed. And you almost start to see it as a game where every time that there's something that you don't really feel like doing, you're like, oh, I should do this now. I'm training this mental muscle to get better at doing the things that I don't want to do, which you've heard me say this before, life is going to push on you anyway, right? Life is going to force you to do things you don't want to do. And my attitude, you know, maybe I'm stubborn, maybe I'm prideful, God knows. My attitude is I want to beat life to the punch. I want to get there first. I want to put myself through so much struggle, through so much work, which of course, again, not in the self-destructive way, but through so much struggle and work that whenever life puts something on me, 99 times out of 100, I'm going to say, oh yeah, I've done this before on purpose, right? You can imagine if you're crazy enough and you start sleeping on the floor two nights a week, three nights a week, let's say you start doing it 6-7 days a week. And then, God forbid, let's say you lose your home and then you find yourself sleeping on somebody's floor. You're like, oh yeah, I've done that before, right? You show up at your friend's door, you tell him what happened. He's a good friend, he lets you in. He says, you know, man, I wish I had a space for you to sleep, but all I got is this floor, man, I don't know. And you're like, oh, that's fine. I sleep on the floor anyway. He's like, you what? Yeah, I've done that before. Or the hot water breaks, right? The water heater in your house, it breaks. And you're like, oh, I didn't notice for 3 months it was broken because I always take cold showers. Which, by the way, this is actually a perfect time for me to make an addendum. I remembered that I saw some research on cold exposure the other day, and apparently the inflammatory marker suppression that would lead to less hypertrophy occurs from cold exposure through submersing yourself in cold water, not through cold showers. So I remember during the cold shower episode, I said you shouldn't do it after the gym. It turns out that's wrong. I was wrong about that. So you can go ahead and take your cold showers after the gym if you feel so inclined. I personally still like to take a hot shower, or well, in my case, warm shower after the gym because I think it gets me cleaner. Or at least it feels that way. But there's no danger to your hypertrophy, right? You'd have to do a cold plunge for that to be the case. But just a quick aside, I wanted to mention that. So now that that's on the record, I was wrong about that. But yeah, let's say your cold water or your hot water heater, your water heater aches, and you don't even notice because you're always taking cold showers. Or you take something else. Let's say you're always eating food that you don't particularly enjoy, right? You're not going out to, I don't know, five-star restaurants. You're not eating all of this pizza and cookies and everything. You're always eating clean. You're always eating healthy. You're eating low, let's say, reward, quote-unquote, like rewarding, dopamine-rewarding foods. So that when you have to eat more simply because, I don't know, let's say you're out of a job, you run out of money, that won't be difficult. So this is one of the many benefits. This is the kind of mentality that I've taken when it comes to embracing the pain, right? Getting to a place where not only are you okay with it, and we've had a very similar field log on this before, right? What's your relationship with pain? And where I talked about these sort of differences, where it's not like you're running away from pain and you're not masochistic where you're constantly inflicting it on yourself, but you're embracing it. You're seeking it out in a healthy dose, right? And you're not afraid of it. Right, in that other episode, in the What's Your Relationship with Pain episode, we talked about the attitude, and you should probably go listen back to that one after this one if you feel so inclined. The attitude that a man has to have, how much it says about a man's character, what his relationship with pain is. And here we see that sort of come into action, and we're starting to see neurological, right, biological, neurological evidence of why that's the case, right? This is the interesting thing about things like the Warrior King ethos, right? There's lots of ideas, sure, that I'm sure that I'm wrong about, right? There are things that are going to come to light and we're going to hone and evolve the process and all of those things. But when you take this traditional mindset, you take this mindset of traditional masculinity, a lot of times when empirical evidence does come out, it supports these traditional views, right? For example, and this is a tangent, but I want to address it anyway. We had an episode on beauty once, right? We had two episodes on beauty. We had Attack on Beauty and Seek Beauty, where I talk about how important beauty is in your life. Well, I saw a piece of research recently that right angles, believe it or not, right angles, straight lines, activate the sympathetic nervous system. Now, if you're a long-time listener to the show, you'll know the sympathetic nervous system is a part of your brain that turns on when you're in a fight or flight situation. And then the parasympathetic nervous system turns on during rest and relaxation, rest and recovery. So when you're in an environment, like a modern environment where everything is boxes and straight lines and you're in a city, it's bad for your mental health. But when you're in nature where there's curvature and, you know, the river and the rocks and everything, there are no straight lines in nature. You've heard that said a million times, I'm sure. That turns on the parasympathetic nervous system. It keeps you calm. It keeps you relaxed. It's very healthy for you. So a lot of times we see that in reality, the modern ethos in basically all of its permutations has failed humanity, right? And I'm going to do a field log on this one of these days, how the modern ethos has basically failed man. This idea that everything that the modern world is telling us to do is killing us in some way or another, spiritually, physically, mentally, you name it. So when the modern world wants to entice us with this hedonism, with this lure of pleasures and comforts and all of these things, you make yourself so fragile that the second anything real happens to you, you'll fall apart at the seams. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to fall apart. You're not going to be able to handle it. You're going to collapse. You're probably going to fall into some sort of coping mechanism like drugs or alcohol or pornography, God forbid. Any of those sort of coping mechanisms that don't help and just put off the problem, don't make it better. But if instead you embrace the pain, you realize that your life, spiritually and with your masculine calling, which of course in many ways is spiritual, is designed to be suffering, which I know is a very dirty word these days. I'm assuming most men listening to this won't feel particularly shocked when I say that. But if a stranger stumbled in off the street, right, and falls into the field log and it says, what is this episode? Embrace pain. And hears me say that your life is meant to be suffering. They're going to think that I'm crazy. Those people are going to think that I am a masochist. I'm not a masochist. I just understand that when we start to do those things, when we start to build difficulty in our lives, when we start to embrace discomfort and pain, right, the struggle, that we build up a character of iron and steel, and all of a sudden the struggle isn't so bad anymore, right? That's the thing about the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, and I really wish they had come up with an abbreviation for this thing. But that's the thing about it, is that eventually you might get to a point where the thing isn't difficult enough and you have to up the dosage. That's how weight training works, right? No one thinks weight training's crazy. You always make it difficult on yourself on purpose. Well, it turns out the same is true for everything else. You always have to do the difficult thing. You always have to embrace the pain. Life is going to be suffering. Spiritual purification happens through suffering, not self-abuse, right? I feel the need to stress this again and again and again. I'm not talking about self-flagellation. I'm not saying that I'm a dirty, sinful human being and then I'm whacking myself on the back 100 times with, a cat of nine tails or whatever that whip is called. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about embracing constructive pain. Right? What's the example I used in that other episode? You scrape your knee and then your mother puts rubbing alcohol on it. And then it heals you. That pain is constructive. Well, in a lot of ways, repentance is the same way, right? We talked about that. But that's your job, is you need to build this character that embraces pain readily. When you see a task in front of you and you know it's going to be painful and you know you're not going to enjoy it, that is reason alone to do it, especially if it has benefits, right? Even if it's neutral, if the pain is harmless, it's just discomfort or annoying or boring or whatever it is, do it anyway. Right? There's two ways you can do something. You can do it while having music playing in the background and the TV on to distract yourself and try to make it, as frictionless as possible, or you can do it in silence. Let's say, for example, do it in silence. Why not? The outcome's the same, but you're building tenacity and you're building solitude and silence, which we've talked about before, right? There's a field log on that as well, on solitude. It's very healthy for you spiritually. Or if, you could mow your own yard or you could pay someone else to do it and you do have the free time and you'd be playing video games instead. Do the difficult thing, right? And we're really stretching the boundaries here of what the word pain means. I understand that. But it comes in many different shapes and sizes, right? That expression that I so enjoy. It comes in many different shapes and sizes. And it's the general ascent to pain that's going to build the kind of character that's required to achieve great things. Not for self-serving purposes, but for God's purposes. It's that character that's required to be a true warrior king, right? We've done the etymology of the word 1,000,000 times. Warrior. It's not gardener. It's warrior. Someone who fights for what's good, both in himself and out in the world, right? We had an episode on waging war. You're supposed to wage war with yourself. Embracing pain. Embracing discomfort, embracing boredom, embracing silence. Those are the ways in which you wage war with yourself. So if there's something you've been putting off, right? Think about this today. If there's something that you've been putting off because it's anxiety-inducing or painful, right? If there's, a conversation you need to have with somebody that's painful, go have that conversation. Send that person a text, call that person, preferably, and say, I'd love to sit down and talk to you. Do the difficult thing. I've done this many, many times in my life, and I'll be in the car and I'm clutching the steering wheel. I'm not looking forward to it, but I know it has to be done. And then when I'm done with it, I'm glad I did it. If there's some housework you've been putting off that you need to take care of it today. Anything that you can think of. Right? If you've been slacking in the gym recently, right? I recently had my injury. I talked about that last week. It's hard to get that consistency back. Go today. If there's somebody in your life who is unhealthy for you that you need to remove for your own sake and for the sake of the people that depend on you, remove that person. If there's somebody who used to be in your life who's really good for you, a mentor, a friend, reconnect with that person, even if you have to humble yourself. Whatever it is that you have to do, anything that you don't want to do, especially if it's good for you, and even if it's neutral, the very fact that you don't want to do it is a reason to do it. You want to become the man where when life hits you, tries to take your legs out from under you, you just look it in the eyes and say, oh, I've done this before, to myself. Right, I remember seeing a clip somewhere from Eminem talking about his battle rapping days. And if you've seen the movie 8 Mile, then you've seen some of that. And the thing he said, and I don't remember where I saw this, but the thing he said was that his strategy was always when he first got on that stage and he got his first chance to take a stab at his opponent, the first thing he'd do is he'd roast himself. He would say all of the things about himself that the opponent might say, yeah, I'm white and I rap. Yeah, I lived in a trailer park. Yeah, I'm poor. This, this, and that. And the strategy was that if I say it about myself, the person can't use it against me anymore. And the same is true for life. If I do it to myself, then life can't do it to me. It's an insurance policy in many ways. So think about that today. What can you do, right? Sit down, think about it. You don't need to make a note about this if you don't want to. If you do want to, great, do it. But think about the areas in your life where you've been just a little too comfortable, right? There was a little period in my life where, since I work from home, I work in technology, where I'd sit on the couch with my laptop just reclining. I said, no, do it proper. Sit in your desk chair, which, yeah, it's still sitting, I know. But do the thing that's a little more annoying. What are some painful things, right? Sometimes I think about skipping my cold shower, and it does happen every once in a while. But every time I remember why I do it, remember what it's for, I go ahead and do it anyway. So today, ask yourself, right, as you're driving to work, as you're getting dressed for the day, or maybe you're listening to this field log a little later, maybe you're listening back to it, as you're eating dinner, as you're on your daily walk, whatever it is, ask yourself, in what ways have I been seeking to make myself more comfortable? And what can I do to reverse that? There is a man that you're supposed to be waiting on the other side of pain. So what you're supposed to do is embrace it. That's it for this week's Field Log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for Field Log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the marcian.cx project. So check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.